Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas along with Tom Kelly today filling in for Joe Giglio. You want to get in 215-592-9494. How you join in? A lot of things we're getting into to start the show here. Sixers, are you more confident or nervous going into Wednesday night, playing the Miami Heat, playing game, you win, you're the seventh seed, you lose, you need to play another game just to get the eighth seed, and being the eighth seed, face the Celtics. Much more difficult road talking about that. Phil split with the Pirates last over the weekend here, and whether you're more frustrated or concerned by this early season start, we're both on more of the frustrated side. But one people's takes, and the breaking news that we reported here in the last segment, Devontae Smith, a 3-year, $75 million extension with the team through 2028. And, I mean, it's obvious, Hugh, this team, they're going to look to win games with their offense. And defense, it's almost like defense is a secondary thought at this point.
It's a luxury, not a necessity. And I've been saying that forever. I got a lot of heat for that. People don't like when I say that. But everything that the Eagles have done over the last couple of months has told me exactly that, is that they feel like in order to win these games, in order to be a good football team, they got to score a lot of points. They've given Jalen a lot of weapons, man. They've given him a lot of weapons. And I know that some people are going to argue the fact that, oh, it's not enough footballs to go around. They'll figure it out. It'll probably be one of those things where week in and week out, they're going to be hard to game plan against. And that's how I look at it because, you know, most times when you say you have a team and you look at it, say if they have a good receiver, good running back, whatever, you usually cater your defensive game plan to containing as much as you possibly can that one individual that could go off during the course of the game. So you all say like, hey, so-and-so is not going to beat us. You know, then the other guys are going to have to beat us. When you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and potentially what they could be, it's going to be one of two things that's going to stop this team. It's going to be pick your poison or stop the quarterback. That they've made it just that simple. It's like, okay, the weakest link. Who's the weakest link right now when you think about offensively on that Eagles football squad? You would think that right now it would be the quarterback. Because that's what you're looking at. You're looking at right now, let's be honest, it's the quarterback.
If we're not looking at, I mean, the interior of the offensive line a little bit, but if we're looking at the skill guys, it's
we're looking at skill guys. And, and this is what the Eagles have done. They put themselves in a position where if this team is going to go as far as the quarterback takes them. Now, I understand that there's some people out there talking about, but Hugh, you play defense, and you know how important defense is. I do. I do know how important it is. But in this NFL nowadays, when you have quarterbacks that are making as much money as they're making, and it might not be fair, but it's a fact that the pressure on them, the pressure to win games falls squarely on their shoulders. It does. It really does.
It does. And I'd agree and I would disagree at the same time. I look at this and yes, offense is definitely more important. Like there's no question in this day and age in the NFL, offense matters more than defense. But defense still does matter. Like, I still think...
Oh, defense matters.
You need something on that matter. Side of the ball. Like, who's going to play defense for this team? I'm really worried about that side of the ball. Who's going to play corner aside from Darius Slay? We're really running it back with Bradbury?
Yes. So far. We still have the draft. We still have the draft coming up. But, yes, this is what we're going to do. I mean, and that's the reality of the situation. Everything that we've done in this offseason so far, and I know that there's some diehard defensive fans out there that are mad about what they haven't done, they've shown you exactly how they feel this season is going to go. They're going to be really, really good, or they're going to be really, really bad.
And this pains me to say, Hugh, because I am a new age football guy. I like throwing the ball, hate when people are screaming to run the ball, worry much more about the offensive side. But at the same time, man, I just look at this defense, and I just feel like, where are you any better? Like, where are they better on defense than they were last year? That defense at the end of the season was terrible. Reddick to Huff, I don't know. I think that's a downgrade. I mean, Devin White, who knows? C.J. Gardner-Johnson's a nice player, but this defense is going to be bad. It's not going to be a good defense.
I think that they're going to be good enough, and if it plays out the way that I think it's going to play out, and I don't know. I think that it's going to be one of those situations where defensively, it's going to be a shootout. It's going to come down to possessions and how many team and who gets the last possession. It's probably going to be a lot of games where we're basically winning by the skin of our teeth. It's going to be 28 to 34 scores like that. But as long as you're on the right side of that, I think that's all they care about. And your defense will be in a lot of games where they'll be able to get to the passer. It won't be such a running game, will be not that big of a factor. So it'll be something different, and I think it'll play into what they feel this defense could potentially be.
Yeah, and we'll see how it works out, but they're going to need to score a lot of points. And if you want to get in 215-592-9494, I want to throw this question out there. Are you worried about the Eagles' lack of focus on the defense this offseason? Are they focusing too much on the offensive side of the ball? We'll throw that out there as well. What do you think about that, Kyle? Are you worried about the fact that the Eagles are looking to really build this offense up big time? They don't seem too concerned at all with the defense.
Yeah, I fall in line with that. I think that the Eagles, like, I don't think there's really one single thing they can do between now and when the season starts that's going to make this defense a defense that, like, is going to win you football games. I mean, they kind of have to just double down, triple down on the offensive side of the ball if they're going to be a competitive team this year. And I don't think the defense is going to be bad next year. I think it's going to be middle of the pack, which in the NFL is good enough to win a title with. I mean, the offense has enough weapons on that side of the ball to carry them throughout the season. So I'm pretty confident that that's going to be the way that they'll win games, and I think they're going to be a good team because of it.
Yeah, and I like what they have done. I like the fact that they do have a lot of firepower on that offense. But, man, I am worried about the defense. I think they need to do more. I think it's really hard to win shootouts every single week. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Carl in Mapleshade. What's up, Carl?
Hey, guys. Good day to you.
What's going on, Carl?
I'm good, man. Trout, no way. Do you know what you would have to give up to bring this guy in? And he never wanted to be here his whole career in the first place. It would gut your pitching staff in the minor leagues because they're going to want two of your best minor league pitchers, and they're going to want an active player who would be like Scott, Boom, Marsh. I'm not giving that up for a daggone, dearly near washed up player that never wanted to be here in the first place.
Yeah, Carl. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the Mike Trout situation. I mean, that's something that I guess, we'll see what happens toward the trade deadline with that.
So for the Eagles, I want Howie Roseman to stop Jerry Jones from bringing in Trout Jr. He's not a name. He's going to start day one. And he's got better foot speed than his dad. Do you know what that would mean for this city to bring Trot to you? Not only monetary value, but what that would mean to this city.
Fans would definitely be excited. No question about that.
The defense is, the whole organization is taking a cultural hit. And this man could be the next man up, not only as a player, but as a cultural
as a leader.
Leader, yes.
So, Carl, are you worried about the defense right now?
Yes. I seen a backup quarterback go 92 yards without a timeout in a minute and 32 seconds and take a victory off the board.
Yeah.
In Seattle game.
Yep. That did happen, Carl. I appreciate the call, Carl.
Yeah, but I think that what the Eagles are looking at, I understand that Carl's a big defensive guy, but I think what the Eagles are looking at in this situation is that when you talk about matchups, and that's how I see it. I think that when you talk about most teams and say the third corner, or you talk about what most teams have in the secondary as far as talented players, the Eagles feel like, especially in this division, because you build your team to get out of the divisional round first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about the Giants, the Commodores, teams like that. They're not structurally built to – they don't have the personnel that could stop each individual person on our offense. And what I mean is this. Okay, when you say if you look at the lineup of the Eagles offense against, say, the Giants defense, man for man, I think that you can say, okay, our corner is better than their receiver, blah, 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 whatever. That's how you establish the matchups. Mm. And most teams in our division don't match up well with our skill players, with the players that they have. You know, especially when you talk about along the trenches and everything like that, they don't match up well. So that's where I feel the Eagles feel like they have the advantage, the overall advantage in the division. They feel like they have that advantage over everybody.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if you look at it going into the season, I think the race between the Eagles and Cowboys is pretty close. I do worry, though, when you face these high-powered offenses, what it's going to look like. And again, I understand we still have the draft next week, and things could look a lot different. Like, maybe they pull off a big trade. We'll see what they end up doing as far as whether they draft some impact defensive players. But when you face these high-powered offenses, I do worry about the ability to get to the quarterback and the ability to cover on the back end.
What high-powered offense?
I mean, whoever you end up playing. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
San Francisco.
Offense is good. I don't consider San Fran high-powered.
Okay.
Like, I know we talk a lot about Debo. They talk about Debo and Ayuk. I'll take our receivers over them any day.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. This absolutely needs to be the best offense in the NFC.
Running back, I would probably lean more towards Christian McCaffrey in this situation than Saquon Barkley, but damn it. I mean, it's not that much, not by that much. Mm-hmm. You know, offensive line, Trent Williams is a beast. He's still a beast. I mean, he's a beast. But I would take overall our offensive line over them. Defense is much better. Like that's where you feel like there might be a somewhat of a problem. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about the two receivers that we have, Dallas Goedert and Saquon Barkley, that's a lot of work for that defense to pull out. And we saw what they did against Kansas City. And you can't tell me that Kansas City's offensive weapons are better than the ones that we have.
No, but what Kansas City had is they had a really good defense.
Yeah,
you know, the
defense stepped up big time.
For as great as Mahomes is, the Chiefs won that AFC Championship game with defense. I mean, they shut down Lamar and the Ravens in that game, and I don't know. I don't think the Eagles have the ability to win a game like that at this point. 215-592-9494. But another thing I did want to mention about this that is just classic Howie Roseman is the Eagles signed this deal. Now, CeeDee Lamb not reporting to organized
OTAs.
Team activities for the Cowboys today. He wants a new contract.
What have I done to deserve this?
Sorry, Jerry. But how about this, Hugh? Howie wraps up Devontae Smith before Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're all due for new deals, getting out ahead of the market. That's a smart move. He just drove the price up for everybody else.
Yeah, that's what it is, man, and that's what you try to do. You want to make sure that you get your guys signed so that you know, you don't overpay for somebody. That's what happened with the Kirk Cousins thing. Mm-hmm. I remember I was in Atlanta. Kirk Cousins signed the deal. And I remember, who was it, Thomas Dimitroff coming on the air because Matt Ryan was up for a deal. And he was like, he said the Kirk Cousins deal screwed it up for everybody.
Yeah.
He said that.
Kirk Cousins, man.
Man, he's made a ton of bread for a guy that has not accomplished a whole lot. He's made a ton of bread.
And he just got another 100 mil from Falcons this offseason.
God bless him.
Unreal. Let's go to Zach in Taylorsburg. What's up, Zach? Yo, Zach.
Hey, I'm here. Sorry about that.
I mean, come on.
So, Kyle Schwarber leading off. I mean, would we have put Ryan Howard in the leadoff spot back in like 08 and 09 and all those years that he was the big power guy?
You know what, Zach? Maybe they should have done that. Maybe that would have been a better idea for the Phillies. Maybe they would have won more World Series.
I think we would have been jamming up the base path with guys like Rollins and Victorino and some more speed coming in behind him, though.
I mean,
we could easily have like Stott and Turner at least 1-2, whether, you know, one goes lead off, the other goes behind him. But I think he should be batting further back in the lineup. Obviously, he produces the home runs and the leadoffs, but we could be getting 2-3-run home runs out of him more often than not just solo shots.
Maybe, but Zach, you look at Schwarber with the strikeouts, like he does strike out a lot. Wouldn't that be magnified with guys on base too?
I mean, that's kind of situational, but
what's same thing with home runs?
You figure the back end, if the back end of the lineup, like 8-9 and Rojas and those guys are struggling, even after his first at bat, he's typically coming up with no guys on a lot of times, you know, when they're turning the order between an inning or something. So even striking out then, like he's not able to provide much, whether he's in the number one spot, the four hole, or anything like that.
Yeah, I just look at it, Zach, because right now, I mean, Brandon Marsh, he's been one of your best hitters. He's been hitting eighth. I mean, that's one of the guys who is getting on in front of Turner. Or, I mean, Schwarber.
Yeah, I mean, if these guys weren't so streaky, I feel like it wouldn't be as big of a topic.
Right.
But since these guys all go hot and cold and offset each other, it becomes a bigger issue.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Zach, and I appreciate the call. So, Q, that we've already had, what, like four Schwarber calls today?
It never fails. And I find it hilarious that there is no argument that could be made that is relevant to the conversation being had today.
No.
It's always something. That's why, I don't know what to say to that, because we're talking about, like, everything for a lot of baseball fans, which I totally respect. I mean, because, you know, you're a baseball purist, is steeped in what baseball used to be. Not what the analytics and a lot of these teams are analytics driven. Not what the analytics are telling people about what's happening right now. Kyle Schwarber's hit 48 home runs in the last two seasons in the leadoff role, and his batting average is like 190. But you can't argue with the results, and he walks a lot, so you can't argue with that. I don't know what to say when people say stuff like that. They feel the way that they feel, but it's just weird to me that a lot of your arguments about what he brings to the table is steeped in what baseball used to be like. What did he say, 2008?
Right.
Yeah. It's a long-ass time ago.
And I don't know, just like watching the games, it doesn't appear to me like Schwarber has been a problem so far.
He hasn't been. And you talk about early in the season where he was pretty efficient running around the bases. It wasn't like he was clogging the bases up. Not one time have I seen him when he's gotten a hit from the leadoff spot. Has there been an issue where he's been clogging up the bases? But again, and like I said, I'm not about to argue with somebody that has been watching baseball their whole life about that. But there's not been a time this year, and if I'm wrong about this, Kyle, please correct me, where there's been a situation where Kyle Schwarber has clogged up the base paths this season for anybody. It's always been a hypothetical when people make this argument. It's like, well, he's going to clog up the base paths. Okay, well, when has he done it?
Right.
Like, seriously, like when I hear these arguments, again, I'm not going to argue with you, but when has he done it? I haven't seen that. That argument that you're presenting, every time that he's been in the leadoff spot, has not presented himself.
The funny thing is, Schwarber's actually been running pretty well this year.
He has a couple stolen bases already.
Right. And, like, you know, that might be a thing if Trey Turner was hitting enough. Like, if Trey Turner's hitting, like, splitting the gap all the time and, like, he could get a triple, like, he's not hitting like that. I mean, Trey Turner can barely get out of the infield right now.
Right. I honestly think, and maybe today's not the best time because Trey Turner did have three hits yesterday, but Trey Turner being at the top of the order, to me, has been a bigger issue than Schwarber, like, overall. Like, Turner started to come on recently, but the first week or so, you know, Turner was a bigger issue up there. 215-592-9494. But our main Phillies question today, are you more frustrated or concerned with the start to the season? And Larry Anderson talked about it a little bit after the game yesterday. Here was L.A. Just talking about the emotion or lack thereof over the weekend.
I just don't see any intensity, any fire. And, you know, when you're not playing consistently good ball, it's easy to look that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're not trying. There's no question everybody's down there trying. But it's just not seeing any chemistry, any camaraderie, any fight. You know, yesterday the walk-off, of course, that does it. But overall, it's not been any. There's not been any consistent play in any department other than maybe the starting pitching.
And I think that's been fair. They haven't been very consistent in a lot of areas. And, you know, the question would be, at what point do you get concerned? Here's L.A. Talking a little more about that.
If they play 500 against the Rockies and the White Sox in those six games, then you got to. Then to me, there's a little concern. I mean, again, this team has started off slow the last 2 years,
yes.
And for slow for 2 months the last 2 years, and still, you know, got deep in the playoffs. So, still no need to panic. But you like to see some signs that they're coming out of something, and they've got the opportunity to do that against these two teams coming in.
And it feels like this is a big week, Hugh, with Colorado and the White Sox. What do you want to see this week, these six games? I think 4-2 minimum. I'd love to see 5-1 this week.
I would like to see 5-1. I would like to see that. And I would like to see somewhat consistency, you know, from our starters, from our hitters. I would like to see a little bit of that just to take a little bit of pressure off. Man, it has to start somewhere. And I would like to see it start here and just take advantage of this team that has only won 4 games this season. And be consistent as you possibly can. I know it's a slog and it's a grind, but yeah, I would like to see that.
Yeah, they need to get back on track against these teams this week and take advantage of this early schedule that they've kind of failed to take full advantage of so far. Let's go to Rob in Delco. What's up, Rob?
Hey, TK. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Listen, let me start off with the Sixers and I'll end with the Phils. Actually, I got to give credit where credit's due. My grandma would always tell me that, guys, but that Doc Rivers, yes, you did a smart move by caving in yesterday by tanking that game, huh? You didn't want to face the Sixers and all in that round.
Oh, Rob, I can't stand.
Is that what it is?
I can't stand Doc. What a jerk.
He's a treasure.
So we're going to win this game, right? I mean, this is kind of another legacy type of legacy game for Joel. I mean, if they come out and lose this game, I mean, they have to win this game at home, Hugh. They have to win this playing game at home, get the 7 seed, because we're going to beat the Knicks. I think they're dangerous. Listen, this is a typical thing for the Sixers to do. When they've been a 1 or 2 seed that had much higher expectations and Embiid's been dinged up, you know, we see what happens. We can't get out of the second round. Watch this be a year where we've had Embiid get hurt, miss a chunk of the year, come back. Hopefully he's healthier than he's ever been going into the postseason run. Not expecting much, and this is the year we make a run. It's just the complete opposite, not being a 1 or 2 seed and him not being healthy. Now he's kind of healthier than he's ever been, and we're in lower seed. This is the year where I think we could be really, really dangerous. I mean, I'm sucked back in, Hugh. They're going to break my heart again. You know, I'm sucked back in.
Enjoy the ride, Rob. Just enjoy the ride.
Listen, Hugh, why else watch it? You know what I mean?
Enjoy the ride. Don't worry about the heartbreak. Just enjoy the ride, man.
Damn right. And listen, Hugh, you've heard me call. TK might not have heard you say it. You and Joe heard me call Cassianis Low and Away. So, listen, I want Low and Away. That's his new nickname, TK, Low and Away. So, I want him to get hot for a couple months because I don't want Dombrowski and Middleton to agree to it. He eats half of his deal. If that's what it takes, 3/4 of this guy's deal to get him out. I just want him gone.
Constantinos,
exactly. He's a stiff Low and Away. I just don't like his whole demeanor, his whole bro, like when he's getting interviewed, his whole vibe.
Rob, did you like him saying Saturday he doesn't like the cold weather, that's why he thinks he's starting a little slow?
Well, that too. TK, the other thing, that and the other thing I was telling those guys last week, when he was talking about the lights and the scoreboard, everybody should wear sunglasses out there. So that'll help deflect some of the light of Castellanos, so he won't get so distracted while he's out there. I mean, what a clown. Just do whatever he's got to do. Get your out here, dump little Nicky, dump Low and Away, whatever you want to call him. And you just can't have him.
Yeah, I got you, Rob. Appreciate the call. Cassianis, he's not going anywhere.
Not anytime soon.
Frustrating. It is frustrating. He can't lay off that pitch.
Yeah.
He just can't do it.
And it's frustrating to the fact that, you know, he's been a little bit of a whiner.
Yeah.
Complainer.
Yeah, he's a little bit whiny.
A little bit complaining. And you could tell his frustration. He's frustration with the locate where they have him hidden. and the fact that he feels like he doesn't have any protection. But you can't say that.
No.
You can't say that. And that's probably why, thinking about that, that's probably why Will said what he said. They just feel a little disjointed.
Yeah.
They're worried about the wrong things right now.
Yeah, they got to figure it out. They got to get going this week. 215-592-9494. Right back to the phones coming up. Also, when we get back, Allen Iverson made his finals pick. We'll have that coming up as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Who do you have going all the way?
Us and Denver.
Sixers, I mean, and Denver.
You already know I'm going with us. I'm not gonna never go against us. You know it. I'm not gonna do it. I like what we got. I mean, I'm confident in it. You know what I mean? We got
you should be the East wide open.
Wide open.
There you go, Hugh. That was Allen Iverson. Predicting a Sixers Nuggets NBA Finals. You see that in a couple
weeks?
Wide
open, yeah. Wide open. Wide open.
It is wide open, but they got to win this game, man. Got to win
this
game.
It starts now, but like I said, I feel that, you know, going into this finals with a healthy Joel Embiid, we got the best player out there. MVP for a reason. Best player out there. So, yeah, I think that bodes well for us.
Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today here on the Midday Show. And that's one of the questions we're asking. A lot of stuff we're talking about today, but one of the questions we're asking going in Wednesday night, are you more confident or nervous? Sixers play-in game against the Miami Heat. Hugh's confident. I'm nervous, and I'm just really scared, Hugh. I don't know. Am I
gonna
a wuss?
Get you a puppy? Yeah,
am
a little
I
bit.
A wuss?
That's a little bit of that's a little bit of a wuss way of handling things a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Say I'm
soft.
Scared.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. You shouldn't be scared, man. I think this is a time you can have butterflies in your stomach. Mm. I mean, that's okay. But to say you're scared now, I think that this team has been playing with a lot of confidence. I like the confidence that Tyrese Maxey has been displaying. I'm okay with it. I know that there's a lot there. As far as the past, and people don't want to forget what happened in the past and things of that nature. I'm a year-by-year kind of guy. Hope springs eternal every year. Hell, I played for the Jets for three seasons, and it got worse progressively every year after the fact. Like, I went, 3-13 the first year, then turned right back around and went 1-15.
And Hugh Douglas just keeps working.
9-7, so it's one of those things, man. That's why I can't help but to be optimistic. And I know that for a lot of fans, you know, the heartache and pain that you felt over the past few years, it's compounded.
I get it. And typically
I'm not there with that.
Typically I would feel that way, but the Sixers have just broken our hearts so many times.
Oh no, I
so
get it. Last year was heart-wrenching, you know, but as a former player, you know, thinking about times where we've come up short, you just have to bounce back and be ready for it, man. Last year was tough though. I get it. You know, because it was an up and down. You know, you had Harden coming out there hitting 30, and then Joel Embiid looking like he's turning the corner. And then all of a sudden, the wheels fell off the wagon. doesn't feel like – it doesn't feel to me like this year is going to be a year where, you know, it's going to be that type of letdown. It feels to me like they're going to fight tooth and nail to go as deep as they possibly can in this.
I just feel like we're going a little overboard with the playoff Jimmy Butler and Miami Heat thing. Like, if Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat are so great, why are they an 8 seed in the play-in right now? I can explain to you why the Sixers are in the play-in, because the best player, one of the best players in the league, was injured for like 40 games. Like, but the Miami Heat didn't have one of those kind of injuries. They're in the play-in. They're not that good.
But Kyle, this is the thing. They were in the play-in last year, and they went to the finals last season.
I understand that. But, like, I don't, like, first of all, that was last year. That was a rare thing for an 8 seed to go all the way to the finals in a weak conference, and the conference is weak again. But, like, we when we go out there, and like on Wednesday, we will have Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, I think two of the three best players on the floor in that game. So there's no reason for us to be scared of Jimmy Butler.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned between you guys and the callers we've spoken to. The confidence in this is the Sixers, guys. This is the Sixers. This team has let us down for our entire lives.
Feels different, though, man. Feels different.
I hope so.
I mean, we got a damn good coach. We got a damn good coach. And it doesn't feel like to me, it just doesn't feel like Joel Embiid feels the pressure that he's felt in the past. A little bit.
And plus, like, I know the Miami Heat went all the way to the finals last year. But, like, we have to, like, Jimmy Butler has not won a championship, right? Like,
no.
He's gotten pretty far.
Yeah,
like, we
can't
keep talking about them like they're some juggernaut. They got waxed by the Nuggets in the finals last year.
I mean, he's been to two finals in 4 years. It's pretty damn good.
The bubble was a joke. We all know that.
Well, I don't know. I feel like last year kind of validated the bubble a little bit. I was a bubble joke guy, but now they did it last year.
Man. You know? It's a joke.
All right. Okay. There you go.
That is funny. The bubble was a joke.
It was. The whole thing was a joke, man.
I don't know about that. I mean, a championship is a championship, and I do understand and respect how hard it is to get to a championship game. So, I mean, I understand that, you know, everybody was on lockdown except for Lou, because Lou went to get some lemon pepper.
That's right. Lou broke the bubble. I forgot about that story.
Yeah.
Man, that feels like a million years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
We're dealing with Lou Williams and his chicken wing controversies.
Yeah, chicken wing.
Yeah.
There'll be more chicken wing controversy later on in the show.
Really?
Oh,
is that right? Okay. All right. Well, we'll get into that. I'm very interested in that later on. But doesn't this feel like a must-win game for Joel on Wednesday night? Like, this feels like
you can't exit. You can't get out. You can't. You can't go home early if that's what you're saying.
Legacy game.
I feel like it's a legacy game. It is. I mean, a play-in legacy game for Joel Embiid on Wednesday night, because if they end up playing the Celtics, that's a real tough matchup.
Out of the gate, that is a tough matchup. But this one, like, I feel good about this one. And potentially the next one.
They beat the Knicks.
Yeah, they beat the Knicks. Definitely beat the Knicks.
Yeah, I feel good about that as well. And how about Spike defecting at the perfect time
for a potential
Sixers-Knicks series? He starts tomorrow.
Yeah, he's leaving. He's leaving time. He's getting out of there. Yeah. Getting out of there with the quickness.
Perfect.
Smart man.
How about that?
Yeah, that would have probably been tough.
Yeah, that would have been a rough series for him up there in New York. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, let's go back to the phones. Go to Dominic. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, we're talking baseball. How about Tom pitch hitting for Joe Giulio? That's pretty cool, Tom.
Oh, thanks, Dominic. Yeah, I'm pinch hitting off the bench. Hopefully I do better than the Phillies pinch hitter.
You know what? Shut up.
No, wait. Hey, you, Douglas. You.
What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Good. Don't you dare bounce that ball when you throw out that first pitch.
I'm definitely not trying to do that, man. I'm definitely not, Dominic. I'm definitely not trying to do that.
Can I suggest one thing?
I'll take all the suggestions I can get. What you got?
Step and throw. Do not throw flat-footed. Step and throw to home plate.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny, Dominic? Like, and I know it's been annoying to Kyle, but every day I come in here, like, I didn't do it today, Tom. But I will throw, step and throw into the wall. I got a tennis ball. Just step and throw into the wall every day.
Like a good BP guy.
Step and throw, because it doesn't, like not a whole lot of velocity.
That's
just
right.
The mechanics.
Repeat the motion.
No,
yeah, that's it. Just repeat the motion.
And
then when I get out there, it's just natural.
And you got to hold the ball four seam, not two seam.
Four seam. Yeah, don't try to get cute with it.
Are you going from the top of the mound, or are you going in front of the mound?
No, I'm going from the front of the mound.
Oh, okay.
I'm not I don't want to put any more pressure on myself than I already have, you know, just to get the ball over the plate. So I'm just going to, you know, just throw it and just get comfortable with the throwing motion.
That's a good call.
I got confidence in you.
Thank you, sir.
A couple things I want to say, and two things that's got to stop. And I heard Tom say it earlier, and I heard many people say it, that we win with Kyle Schwarber leading off, and that's not true. We haven't won diddly yet with Kyle. And I get the home run when he leads off. It's nice to give his pitcher a 1-0 lead, or if it's or if they're down 2-0 and he hits a homer, cuts the lead. That's great. I love Kyle Schwarber. And another thing that's got to stop everybody saying, oh, Kyle Schwarber only leads off once a game. No. He hits in front of Turner 4 or 5 times a game. So here's what I suggest. Find the analytic department, whoever them goofballs are. Tell them to put in their analytic blender. Turner leading off, put a lefty following Turner. Take Rojas out of center field. Let Brandon Morris play every day. They went out and got a utility guy and a proven major league hitter like Whit Merrifield. Put him in left field. So put that in the blender. Mix that up and see how many wins you're going to get.
Dominic, Whit Merrifield's 3-for-25 right now.
Listen, and that's another thing we got to stop talking about. Don't be quoting averages until they get 100 at-bats. Because it's go look back of his major league card. He's a proven major league hitter. Please don't compare 25 at-bats to Whit Merrifield and Rojas. Rojas has had 36 official plate appearances. He hit 8 balls this year out of the infield. When he hits a ground ball, it's like he's in a bowling ball. Do you understand? No, you can't go by, you can't compare a proven major leaguer to anybody else with averages.
His average is 69 points higher than Merrifield right now.
It's not about Tom. It's not about that. He's a 283 career hitter. He came off a spring hitting 400. Listen, Dombrowski is ignorant and he's stubborn. Okay, you've seen what Rojas did in the NLCS. He was 4-for-60-something in the playoffs. He come off a spring was pathetic, and now he starts the season pathetic. He's an automatic out. You can't give up 3 outs. You can't give 3 outs of the 27 outs. You can't do it. I know he's – listen, I know when he gets on base yesterday, it was nice. He hit the base hit. He stole – listen, this thing about him, his defense, he don't get a chance to save the game. Since when does he get a chance every game to save a game with a game-saving catch? That's baloney. That's baloney. Okay, let me say this in quarters. We're never going to find out what it equates to in wins with Turner leading off for a full season because they're never going to do it. I'll hang up and I'll take notes.
I got you, Dominic, and appreciate the call. First off, can we stop with the Rojas stuff? Okay, like, if we're talking about Johan Rojas not hitting, it's only because the top guys aren't hitting.
Yeah.
Like, if the top guys are hitting, we don't worry about Johan Rojas.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the sour taste that Johan Rojas left in people's mouths last year. Like, because I get it. The bat on his shoulder against the Arizona Cardinals in a situation where we're trying to survive, and he comes up short. I get it. But that's not what he's here for. He's here for his defense. Now, I did have somebody call me a couple weeks ago and said, I remember back in the day when, you know, the ninth hole hitter wasn't talked about as much. Not as much as he's talked about here. I mean, he's out there for his defense, and I think most people know that. But because it's what he's not doing out there is magnified because of what everybody else is not doing.
Right. Like, if Bryce Harper and Real Muto and Castellanos and these guys are hitting, we're not worried about Johan Rojas and what he's doing at the bottom of the order. Like, yes, he started slow. He's hitting 189 right now. It's not good, but Johan Rojas and his offense is not the reason the Phillies are losing games right now.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what people see. They see that Joe coined a phrase last week. It was like the game finds him. And that's the unfortunate thing about it, is that a couple times this season, the game has found Johan Rojas, and he's been a liability at the plate. He's definitely been a liability.
I mean, I will say this. He does always seem to come up in, like, big spots.
Yeah, and then he comes up short. He comes up short, and that is frustrating because people are holding out hope that something good can happen, and it just so happens that he's the guy to play, and he just comes up short in that situation.
It is frustrating, and of course, you know, according to most people, the solution to all the Phillies' problems is just move Kyle Schwarber out of the leadoff spot.
Oh, hey, man, every day.
Everything will get fixed.
Every day.
Let's
every
go to Jack in Norristown. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on, Jack?
I know I told want to talk about Schwarber, but I want to say something about the Eagles first. It just shows you. You do your job with the Eagles, they're going to take care of you. But the Smith contract, it's great.
Unless you're Sam Reddick, Jack.
Reddick? If he would have hung in there, they would have took care of him. The man had a contract, a year to play. If he plays that contract out, they would have took care of him for the next 2 or 3 years. The man's 30, he's going to be 30 years old before the season. But I want to tell you about Schwarber. And another thing about him, I trust in Howie that between the draft and the start of the season, he's going to chew up that defense. They're going to do something. That's for sure. But I want to say about Schwarber. Now, you talk about baseball purists. You're not going to find many more than me. I saw my first baseball game at Jai Park in 1948. So you know I go back a little bit. And I understand. Back in that them days, Schwarber wouldn't even be on a ball team. If he hit 70 home runs, you can't strike out 215 times, hit 190. He walks a lot, he gets on base, and you guys saying he don't tie up the bases. There's times when it takes him three hits to score a run. You got to put a Trey Turner, Turner led off for Washington for years, was the leadoff hitter, and the number two hitter for the Dodgers. So I know the guy can do the job. He's just, I don't know what's going on with him this year, and hopefully he gets straightened out. But Rob, and I don't think Rob Thompson, our manager, is calling the shots on Schwarber. I think between the analytics outfit, the general manager, and Schwarber, they want to keep him happy, and he wants to lead off.
Yeah, Jack, I disagree with that, man. I think if Rob Thompson thought it was a better decision for the team to move Schwarber, I think he would. I don't think
it
this
sounds
is
like
it.
He's been asked that a few times before, and he said, you know, he does well at the leadoff spot. So I don't know if that's the case. I really don't.
I can't see how you think he does well. But Rob Thompson's been in baseball for over 40 years. You can't tell me he's not a purist either. The only thing I don't like about him is he's too much Yankees in him. He's too like Girardi with the bullpen. They bring a guy in, rides 6 hours from Rochester, rides at the stadium in fourth inning, and he pitches him the sixth inning, and he pitches the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. And then other guys he brings in, and he'll pitch him one batter, and they don't win the next inning. I don't get it.
Yeah, Jack, and appreciate the call, man.
I guess that's the ebb and flow of the game, though. It's the feel of the game that Topper has for it.
I mean, that game was a blowout. They just wanted Pinto to eat innings. I mean, they put Pinto in yesterday, and he kind of blew up. So that's not something that's going to be normal. I mean, it's just a different game now with the way pitchers are managed, with the way teams approach lineup construction. It's just different than it used to be, and I just think people have a really hard time adjusting.
Wrapping their mind around that, because like I said, as a baseball player, nothing wrong with that, and that's why most times when people say what they say, I understand where they're coming from, because it is a game that's steeped in a lot of history and a lot of numbers and stats and everything, and they want to keep it that way because those stats are what drives the game, that game especially. Like those old-school stats that have been standing for forever, that really drives that game.
Yeah, and when it comes to the Schwarber thing, I'm like a reformed Kyle Schwarber leadoff person because I used to be one of the hate. I used to be somebody.
You used to hate Kyle at leadoff.
Why didn't I always liked Kyle Schwarber as a player, but I wanted to move down. After last year, it's like, what are you gonna do?
You're a born again Schwarber leadoff guy?
I am.
Wow.
Because I remember you and I got into a big Schwarber leadoff argument.
Y'all got
last
into
year.
A tay-to-tay?
I was filling in for you one day, and me and Kyle got into it.
But you know, Kyle does that. Kyle's intimidating when he gets.
I got smoke back here.
Kyle and I both are good at bringing anger out of other people. I don't know what that says about us as people.
That's true.
But
when we hosted next to each other that one day.
That was right after Jonathan Cannon beat the Eagles too.
Yep.
That was not a very positive show that day.
I think the people needed us though.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah. We were a good combo.
We accurately reflected the feelings of everybody in the Delaware Valley.
Yes, the anger of the fan base after Jonathan Gannon came to the link and kicked the Eagles' ass. Let's go to Ben in Millville. What's up, Ben?
What's up, guys? What's up, you? What's up, Kyle?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Doing well. I want to answer this simple and easy question, and everybody might not get this, but I think you guys are smart enough. How many times does Kyle Schwarber lead off in a game?
Guaranteed once.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So he's not – people act like every single time, every, you know, three innings, he's going to lead off. No, it's not. Is it? It's possibly very implausible or close to it, but it's proven that when he leads off, we have a better winning percentage than he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, yes.
And that's basically has been Topper's argument about the whole thing, when he leads off.
It's really that simple.
Yeah, like, so let it go, people. You know, sing the song. Let it go. And it's so annoying that we're talking about it now, you know, 2 years later. Like, just it's frustrating. And, you know, we talk so much about how that mental impact of him crushing a home run that very first or first three pitches or first five pitches that the pitcher throws, and how demoralizing that can be to that starting pitcher.
That's how I see it. Like, when you see what he does, and you know, he ambushes pitches and everything like that, and they go yard, that could be, like you said, demoralizing for a starting pitcher out there.
Yeah, imagine you doing that. You throw you go, all right, I'm going to throw it, blow by him with this, 95, low and away. And he sticks his butt and bat out there, and he lofts it to left field. He'd be like, well, crap. Well, that didn't work.
Yeah, and sometimes guys don't bounce back from that. We were talking to who was we talking to about that? Zach Wheeler was talking about how, you know, sometimes you go out there and you get rocked a little bit, and it's hard to come back from that. You got to kind of settle down a little bit. And we've seen Nola do it at times.
That's been a big issue for Nola.
Yeah, we've seen him do it at times.
Well,
yeah,
we guarantee. Well, it's almost, you know, normal. You know, let him throw those one or two long balls, and then he settles down, and you know, pray for the offense to win the game.
Yep. No, exactly. Ben, what do you got on the Eagles?
Eagles, I think they are prioritizing the offense a little bit. Like, now, granted, we still have the draft coming up. And, you know, it's anybody's guess to what exactly happens. I hope he doesn't pick in the 20s. You know, that 14 to 25 or 28 range, or, you know, our track record hasn't been good with those draft picks in the past bunch of years. But I don't know. I think defense will fill itself out, the free agency, and that I truly think during the beginning, you know, first couple weeks of the season, see who's still available. You know, I think Howie will do his magic then. But, you know, I don't have much faith in the draft just because I don't think we're exactly hyped for it.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like nobody's hyped for the draft, really.
Yeah, it's just like, well, let's see, because, you know, the old adage, you know, every rookie you start, you know, is one more game lost. So it's like, yay. But
I got you, Ben. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I heard Joe talking about that with John this morning on the morning show. Is why has the excitement not ramped up for this draft? Because I feel it, too. It's like, it's just not
a little bit of anxiety.
You don't feel like they're going to get a difference maker, I think, where they're drafting. And I think that plays into it.
Yeah, I think that they have the potential to. But I don't think offensive line moves the meter, even though that's a position where he could potentially be a difference maker, especially when you talk about all the resources that have been allocated to the offensive side of the ball. That could be definitely a difference maker. A lot of people don't see it that way. A lot of people kind of, like, it feels to me like Eagles fans are wrapping their mind around the concept of what I've been saying since I've been here, that this town, it's a luxury to have a defense. It's not a necessity. That's where we're going right now. And you look at the moves that haven't been made, there's still a possibility. And I know I've been strong on this, been bullish, that I didn't think Slay was going to be here. I'm starting to come around to think that he might be here. I don't think Bradbury is going to be here, though.
Well, at this point, Slay better be here. I mean,
yeah,
he's the best quarter.
I don't know if they feel – like, I don't feel like it's what this defense is – what I think this defense is going to be. I never felt like Slay was going to be a guy that I was going to factor into that because he doesn't want to tackle.
Right.
Tackle adverse. But I feel like moving forward that they're gonna be holes in this defense that they couldn't feel. They're just going to have to go out there and they're going to play. And they're gonna put a whole lot of pressure on their offense to go out there and make some things happen.
It certainly seems that way. It certainly looks that way right now, is that this team's going to need to win by scoring, and they're going to need to score a lot of points to win games this year, because that's where they've invested, I mean, a lot of the resources this offseason.
Ton of bread.
215-592-9494. More calls after the break. We'll continue to react to the Devontae Smith extension, confidence level in the Sixers facing Miami Wednesday, and the Phillies. Are you more frustrated or concerned? And also, when we get back, what Rob Thompson had to say about Bryce Harper's slow start. That's coming up next. Hugh Douglas along with Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIB.
The future of medicine is here, and it's QC Kinetics. QC is the nation's leader in the most exciting revolution in pain management we've seen in decades. Regenerative medicine. If you're tired of achy joints, if your joint pain is keeping you from doing what you love, you need to call QC Kinetics right now. surgery, steroids, drugs, these are no longer your best options. Regenerative medicine is the way to go at QC Kinetics, and it's transforming lives with innovative treatments that deliver lasting results. We're talking natural biologics here, people, using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue. QC Kinetics is under the leadership of National Medical Director, Dr. Mitchell Shinecup. Dr. Shinecup is a pioneer in this field with 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. He wants to get you relief with a needle and not a knife. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more about these exciting options. This is a revolutionary approach that can get you long-term relief with no downtime. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation at 215-999-3000. That's 215-999-3000. One more time, 215-999-3000. QC Kinetics.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.